It's Abu here. You're probably wondering, what's different around here? And the answer is everything. I took the last year off, not just from podcasting, but from everything. I needed a reset. Last year was one of the hardest years of my life. And as you know, life doesn't just throw one thing at a time at you. It hits you with everything all at once. I hit a mental roadblock, my business hit a wall, and then I faced an unimaginable loss of someone I deeply loved. I had a reset. I went deep, asking myself, what's wrong with me? What did I do to deserve this? I struggled with grief, with loss, with relationships, with business, and family. I was operating from a place of seeking permission. Permission to let go, permission to step back, permission to prioritize myself. And then it hit me. You don't need anyone's approval to take the next step. You don't need permission to be a CEO. But you do need the tools, the mindset, and the support to lead in a way that doesn't cost you your peace. It took me over a decade to truly figure this out. And now, I'm ready to keep going, sharing what's worked, what hasn't, and everything I'm still learning along the way. So if you're ready, and I know I am, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with someone who needs to hear it. Because this isn't just my journey, it's ours. Lastly, I just want to thank everyone that reached out to me over the last year just to check on me, make sure I was doing good. I truly appreciate the support, and I look forward to continue building more deep connections with you all. This is the Powered AF Podcast, a show about visionaries, high performers, and entrepreneurs, and their stories on how they push past fear, overcome imposter syndrome, and navigate through the mental roadblocks in order to achieve the highest level of success. And I'm your host, Abu Fofana. In this week's episode, I have none other than the Charm City Buyers. Now, have you ever thought about real estate or ever been interested in real estate and getting into real estate, whether it's investing, whether it's wholesaling, whether it is identifying what properties to buy, where to start? This is the ideal episode for you. Now, the Charm City Buyers is ran by Khalil and Kiara. Now, they're a power couple. They're married. And so in this episode, we're going to get into real estate. We're going to get into building relationships. We're going to get into what it's like working with your significant other and a business partner as well. So there's a lot of gems, a lot of nuggets. We're actually filming this live in Baltimore, their hometown. We're hanging out at one of the houses that they own, one of the properties they own. And it's just an amazing, amazing interview, amazing discussion. So I hope you all enjoy it. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone around the world tuning in, Charm City Buyers. Let's go. About time. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Powered AF podcast. And I'm super excited to have you all here because, especially you two, because I mean, I remember talking about the idea of starting the podcast, and then I finally started the podcast. And so the Powered AF podcast is really about, you know, talking to entrepreneurs, top performers, people that are really going after it, people that are up late at night and asking the question, you know, am I the right person? Why me? You know, while everyone else is asleep, these individuals are working. They're masterminding. They're visionaries. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I wanted to have you all on is because I like having honest and unfiltered conversation.
Yeah.
People see you both, and they think that it's easy. Now, I've been hanging out with y'all over the last 2 days, and I'm like, no, this is not easy. This is a lot of work. Yeah. This is a lot of work. And there's a lot that goes into it, not only physically, not only labor, not only building teams, but also mental component as well. Yeah. So I want to talk about all of that in our conversation. And we may not even get to all of that. So there's probably going to be a part two or three.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a series out here. And so before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell y'all who we got with us today. We got Khalil.
Yeah.
We got Kiara.
Oh, yeah.
We got the Charm City Buyers
you
in the
know.
House.
You already
hey,
know.
So
we're in the house.
Welcome to the podcast. How y'all feeling today?
Feeling good, man. Feeling great. Feeling inspired. Thank you for that warm introduction.
Yeah.
Y'all already know. And then Khalil, Kiara, can you let people know what it is that you all do and who are you?
Yeah, so I'm Kiara.
And I'm Khalil.
And we are Charm City Buyers. So we are all about how do we develop our communities, leveraging real estate? How do we build wealth leveraging real estate? And how do we position more people to win, right? And not just individually investing in real estate on their own, but thinking about community development and gentrification and what that means for a lot of our neighborhoods and communities. And knowing that Baltimore is the cornerstone to building wealth in particular. Particularly Black wealth at that. And so for us, it's always been, you know, about investing in real estate for ourselves, for our family, thinking about the next generation, but also making a positive impact in the communities in which we're investing.
Yeah, and those positive impacts go far and wide. It's educating folks on different grants and tax credits to help do facade improvements, for example, or help keep their property taxes low. And it also includes getting rid of vacant houses, which is a plague throughout major cities everywhere. Mm-hmm. Baltimore in particular, and getting rid of those vacant properties and building new houses for new folks to come in is a cornerstone of what we do.
Yeah.
Now, why did you guys decide to pick Baltimore? Right, because I didn't even know that Charm City is actually, is it a place in Baltimore?
It's the nickname for
Baltimore. It's the nickname. So why do you both reside on, because you could do real estate anywhere.
Facts.
Right, so why did you both say, you know what, we need to start in Baltimore?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Baltimore.
Okay.
So when I met Kiara in college and we went off to Connecticut and then we kind of looking at each other, how are we going to keep growing and expanding this thing? It's like, well, let's go back home.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that was one of the negotiation points when we were getting married. We moved to Connecticut and he was like, okay, but the next place we're going back home. We're going to Baltimore.
So when you go back home, and it's funny because most people, they leave, they go to college and they try not to go back home. You were thinking about where you're like, okay, it has to be Baltimore. We have to go back. Why did you think that way, which was so different than the norm?
Yeah, man. And that's pleasing to the full answer here. So there's so much happening in Baltimore City. Mm-hmm. And there's so much development happening. And when we came back, and just before we came back, really, just kind of knew and understood that in every major African-American city, gentrification has taken over. And we can talk about that later. But being able to be on the front lines and say, okay, how do we positively impact the city in a way that pays homage to legacy residents, in a way that continues pushing progress forward, and in a way that really embodies that strong kind of movement into the future, is something that we were looking at. So we were looking at different cities also, but Baltimore being someplace that feels like home, that looks like home, and already has a lot of positive movement, we were like, let's jump in.
Yeah, and the thing about real estate in Baltimore too, because you have all these opportunities to do good work and make a positive impact, but the dollars got to make sense, right? So at the same time, Baltimore actually has one of the highest ROIs across the country because property values are low, rental rates are high. There's just a lot of opportunity. And so you have this unique opportunity to balance between impact and your bottom line. And so Khalil always talks about having like a double bottom line. So when we're thinking about what we're doing and how we're doing it, it's not only just like the money, but it's also the impact. We have that double, you know, assessment about how we're doing and what success looks like every single day. But that ROI ain't bad either.
So when y'all decided to come back, were there people already here? Was Baltimore like the sexy city to come into the rebuild, or what was the stigma around it that time?
Baltimore was the Wire, bro. Like,
yeah,
that
was still the Wire. We were probably about a decade out of the Wire first dropping, so kind of five years out from the last season or so. Mm-hmm. So people still very much equated Baltimore City with the Wire and Omar and Snoop and all those kind of characters that have plagued Baltimore.
Yeah. So when we came in, we knew and learned and understood that Baltimore, the only place to go was up. And so we said, if it's going to go up, why watch other people come in and cash out? Like, if not us, then who?
Right. And so, just looking at the landscape, too, like Eds and Meds is what people say. We have a lot of great educational institutions. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of great medical institutions, mm-hmm. Johns Hopkins Hospitals being one of them. Yeah. And just knowing that we've got very strong anchors and very strong like anchor in institutions mm-hmm. means that the development can spread pretty rapidly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think people that are listening in, they're trying, and some of them are like, okay, how are you all doing it? You know? So what's the, if you had to wireframe, you know, the Charm City Buyers, what's the components of it?
There's so many components. So we have our investment development arm, right? So we have houses. We're doing renovations every day. You know, you walk through a few of them while you're here. And so we have those projects. So we're active investors. We do own a general construction company, which I think this is the first time I'm saying that publicly. So, we have the construction arm and we have our mentorship, our coaching, our mentorship program so that we can leverage and funnel all of the experience and knowledge and things we learn the hard way and the right way and all the resources and relationships we have and funnel those to our students.
Okay.
And so we buy houses, we do all that ourselves, we own a construction company, and then we have our mentorship program.
Is this what, you know, you say y'all met back in college.
Yeah.
Was this the vision in college? Like, how did y'all know you'd be on this path?
Yeah.
And what did you see for yourselves at that time when y'all first met in college?
That's a good question.
Yeah, no, so this was not on the path.
Okay.
I always knew that something entrepreneurial would be there, and I think Kiara kind of knew that too, so the vibe was right. What avenue we would choose and what pathway, it was just open.
Mm.
It was open for a very long time. So Kiara wanted to do properties, and I'm like, okay, let's give it a try. We were young enough where if we did something wrong, we'll fix it and kind of move forward from there.
Yeah, we were still we were in college, and that was cool. And then we graduated college, and then real life hits, and you know, you start looking at each other like, look, nah, like you cool and all, but what we finna do?
Right.
So we were living together and stuff, and so it was like, you know, let's sit down and be really intentional. Like, what is it that we're looking to do and accomplish together? What does this look like if we're doing this forever? And we whiteboarded, we vision boarded. We had all of these conversations, and that's really where investing and entrepreneurship and all that kind of stuff came up, through us mapping out and visualizing what we wanted our life to look like together. So that's really what set the foundation for us to start a business together and start investing in real estate. And then from there, we're both visionaries. We're both very ambitious.
Right.
We balance each other out really well. And so it turned into really everything else after that.
So what, because a lot of times, you know, people that start businesses together, there's a lot of headbutt, right? There's a lot of, you know, you think it's going to work out and it doesn't work out. So in both of your relationship, not only are y'all business partners, but you both are also married.
Yeah. And with a kid.
With a kid. So how does that work where you are husband and wife, and you know, you're running businesses, and then your husband and wife inside the house? How is that working as a having a business partnership and also a life partnership? How does that work?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
I'm like, no. No, it's a lot of give and take and a lot of patience, especially in the beginning. The reality is, in the beginning, there's just not enough space for both of us to spread our wings and fly, right? But as the businesses grew and as multiple businesses came in, then okay, you need to run this side, I need to run that side. We collaborate together somewhere in the middle, but now we've got enough space in our businesses, multiple, to really start to thrive and grow.
I think what's really important is that we have like that shared goal and vision.
Yeah.
And we negotiated very early on what was a priority for me, what was a priority for him, and then how do we collaborate and compromise on those pieces. I think for people that try to work together with their spouse or their partner, they miss like being really, really clear, transparent in your communication.
Yep.
And then saying like, what is it that's important to you? What's important to him? And then how do we merge that together? And then once that's set and you have that shared vision and goal, that's the focus. It's not the day-to-day, you know, foolishness that pops up. It's what is this long-term goal? And every single day, as you know, you'll hear married people say that you choose to, you know, stay married. You choose to just stay in love. You choose to do all those things every single day. You also choose every day that we're going to work towards this shared vision and this shared goal and compromise through. And I think what we've learned over the last 10 years of running this business together, also learning how to turn it on and turn it off and kind of, you know, renegotiating with each other how we work together as we each grow and develop as individuals and as people, right? Like the same thing when you're doing that in a marriage, you also have to do that in your business. So it just adds another level of complexity. But I think it's all about communication and transparency and always having that core anchor vision and goal together.
And it sounds like, you know, where you are today, it took a lot to get here.
Oh my goodness. Right?
For sure.
Bro, we've been together 13 years, married 8. Like it's been a long, and we've changed throughout those years, our entire 20s, right? We've been together. So being able to just like have opportunities to say, okay, today I'm not going to focus on business with you. I'm going to focus on personal, or have different like text messaging apps. This one's a personal app. So when a notification comes in, we know that this is something kind of family or personal instead of business. And just those little kind of secrets and tricks help us stay grounded, stay organized, and stay working together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that, you know, you both had like this journey to where you are. Now, growing up, because you said, Kiara said, let's get into properties. You know, did you see that growing up? Did you see that entrepreneurship growing up? Or was that not even a thing and you guys just created it?
Yeah. So I didn't know any other like investors and developers growing up. But what I did have was every year I have like super strong roots where I grew up. And so every year for our family reunions, we would talk about our ancestors, our history, all that kind of stuff. Well, part of that history and story is that my family owned a lot of land and they built literally their own town. So there's a, I call it the one of the first Black Wall Streets, but in the early, in like 1820s, there was a town called Hinsonville in Pennsylvania, a few miles above the Mason-Dixon line that my ancestors founded. And so they had farms, they had stores, they had churches, they had all these things. And eventually that land became the first HBCU, so Lincoln University. And so through that story of learning about Hinsonville and land ownership and building communities, I think that was a really big thing for me. And then I also watched farmland get sold off and homes being built, new construction properties being built on it. So seeing those transitions with also kind of that background and literally thinking about kind of that power of building communities running through your veins, it really stuck with me. And so my goal literally growing up was to get a dog and buy a house after I graduated college. And I did both within the first year.
Right. now for you, Kula, was that, did you see entrepreneurship around you growing up? Or was it because of Kiara that, you know, you were first exposed to, like, wait, we could do this by ourselves? We don't have to go the typical route?
Yeah. No. So for me, we saw entrepreneurship. There was a lot of entrepreneurship in my family. At one point we had a corner store down in the city. At another point my mom had a nursing home inside of our house where we had a patient that we took care of and everybody kind of helped out. So we constantly saw that. My dad was a big kind of supporter of don't work with your hands, because he did for 30 years he worked at, you know, on an assembly line putting cars together. But he said, you know, don't work with your hands. If you can, work with your brain. And one step further, own the company. That was always kind of what he pushed us to do. So from the very beginning, selling candy in middle school and having a little DJ business in high school.
He was a party promoter back in the day. Everybody, he was pop locking.
Yeah, all that. But entrepreneurship was big, man. It was like, look, yo, that's the path. That's how you're going to get to where you want to be.
And now that you both are, you know, in this position, you both saw it at an early age. How do you think now, you know, not only your siblings that follow, but your daughter, you know, like, how do you think it's impacting her because you both are entrepreneurs?
Yeah, she starts businesses on the bus. She was selling chapstick at one point. So she definitely thinks differently. And, you know, she thinks about how to be creative in getting things done. And she's really, we empower her to be really free with her thoughts and her creativity. So for me, I don't even like to guesstimate on what she's going to do or how it's going to, because I don't even want to put that ceiling on her. Like, there is no ceiling.
Facts.
And so for her, I'm just excited to just support the process. But she definitely has the bug, that's for sure.
Right. No, that's amazing, because I think a lot of people will look at your end journey and they will say, oh, like, you know, maybe they had a big investment or someone gave them money or...
Nah, I'm still waiting for someone to tell me I have a trust fund somewhere from all that
one of these days.
And so they see your end process. Yeah. They didn't realize it took so long and so much time and sweat equity and labor in order for you to get to where you actually are.
100%. I always say, like, this is why we have the Next Gen Accelerator, why we do our mentorship, because we try to create the community, the resources that we didn't have. We didn't have someone to go ask questions to. So we were like valedictorians of the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And that is expensive. So like, I can't even quantify those early years and just trying to do, you know, rehabs and hiring contractors and just not having that guidance, how much that cost us along the way. Like it's crazy. And so I try to be, I'm probably overly transparent about the fact that, you know, there's a process there and there's a way for you to not make it as hard as it can be if you're willing to check your ego at the door and listen and follow the way. But yeah, no, we were 22, 23 years old with no trust fund, no money.
No background in construction or development.
We were too young and naive to be scared, and we just went for it.
But we worked really hard.
Of course,
like you said, yeah, like it was a lot of long days, long nights between meetings, going and running. I remember going and lunch breaks at work, running to a house real quick, doing some painting, or hanging up some drywall real quick, get back to the office. Like, why are you so sweaty and dusty?
Yeah,
just hustling.
What would you say is, one, can you tell the audience a little bit more about the Next Gen Accelerator that y'all have?
Yeah, for sure. So our Next Gen Accelerator is our mentorship program, really focused on finding success in real estate. State in Baltimore. So of course we're sharing kind of the tools and the process for real estate in general that can be used anywhere, but we're really, really focused on how do you get from A to Z in Baltimore so that we're not just talking theory, right? We're talking actionable, specific, you're in this district, so this is your inspector type of information. Yeah. So we get super, super detailed. Because our goal is that people are buying property in less than 6 months is the goal, in 6 months or less. And we have this huge campaign right now where our goal is 2,400 doors in the next 3 to 5 years for our mentees. Wow. And so in the last like 6 months, 6 or 7 months, our mentees have done over $6 million of transactions and over 100 doors of
That's
purchases.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And are these people coming in knowing anything? Or do they have to come in like, you know, they had to go through undergrad or grad school of like real estate or like, or y'all basically, are y'all teaching them, hey, here's how you do it step by step in the right way?
Yeah, it's step by step. So with people who come in who are brand new and have know nothing except they want to invest in real estate. And we have people who come in who have done some projects, maybe didn't see as much success as they wanted to and want to go into the next one with more knowledge and more resources, or folks who have invested in other cities and are smart enough to know that Baltimore is not the same. And you will get jacked up here if you assume that you're going to know because you've done X, Y, and Z somewhere else. And so those are usually the three categories that folks come in. They're either brand new, they've done a few and want to do them better, or they're smart and want to invest in, you know, streamline the process of learning in Baltimore.
Okay. No, that's good. I always say the best learning comes from experience.
Yeah.
It's hard starting from zero.
Yeah.
Like when you're having to go to Google and YouTube and like trying to research, put it together, because time is expensive.
So expensive.
Right. And then you're about to make all the same mistakes that person already is about to tell you how to avoid.
Yeah.
And so there's this level of investment that is necessary in order for you to, because if y'all were in that position 10 years ago, 20, you guys are like, okay, we're not going to make the same mistakes.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, I would rather go and learn how to do it the right way than spend these next 10 years. Because you said y'all made a lot of mistakes along the way.
Exactly right.
And so I think it's important that you both, and I don't even know how y'all find the time, but you both are turning around and saying, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
And then you're still, like today, for example, I was with y'all earlier and y'all went to a student's door, student's house at their building and walked through it. You know, you gave input and the fact that like you guys just don't say, okay, here, you graduated. All right, we'll see y'all, do your thing.
Right.
You're still involved in the process. You're trying to make sure they're always getting the best. And I think that's really important. That just goes to show how much y'all care. And even hanging out with you, I'm like, damn, this is a lot of labor.
So much labor.
I'm like, this is a lot of labor. But the fact that you both truly enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of work, yep. But you truly enjoy what you do. And I think that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really, I think, sets like us and Next Gen apart when it comes to teaching and coaching and mentoring in real estate is that our students own properties like the next block or three, you know, a few blocks over. We want them to be successful because that helps us, because we're actually still doing deals. And so if we can all collectively do well, then everybody wins. Like Chloe always says, a rising tide raises all ships. We just happen to be the one pushing the water along.
Bars.
Right. I got to drop bars over there. Now, because you've both been, you know, working together for quite some time, what are some hard lessons that you've learned along the way, right? What are some hard lessons, whether it's, you know, capital loss or deals that didn't go right or relationships that went south? Like, what are some hard lessons, or can you think of one that comes top of mind when I say that?
Yeah. So for me, the first thing that comes top of mind is just being patient. Mm-hmm. And allowing kind of things to unfold the way that they need to unfold for us to continue moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I know for me also, Kiera is very strong in a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. And they may be areas that I'm not so strong in. So just being able to humble myself, especially as a Black man, right? Like humble myself, listen to her and say, okay, I think that's the right way to go. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And I'm also strong in some areas too. And I'll provide feedback to Kiera, like, look, mm-hmm. let's do this, or let's type an email that, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So I think probably the most important relationship, or the most important kind of core piece to being successful, and probably one of the hardest lessons, was just how do we stay in sync? Like, we're like, I know people throw like power couple type of things around and I try to stay out of those conversations. But when we're aligned and we're tapped in, like, yeah. the whole everything falls into line, and just things continue to just come to us. Very, you were here, there a bunch of stuff popped off while Listen. You were here. Like, it just kind of flows in a really mind-blowing way. And so for me, I think one of the lessons has been just to, like Chloe said, probably humble yourself and check that ego and really make sure that we're staying locked in, because if we're locked in together, everything else tends to flow right behind it.
Now, I know, like, you know, it took y'all a while to get to this point of, like, building this yin and yang,
yep. mm-hmm.
sort of, you know. So what was early on the hardest thing to understand about one another in the business and aspect, you know? Like, what was the hardest thing to understand with, like, Kiara, where you are like, oh, okay, that now I understand, or, like, vice versa?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably the hardest thing together is, well, you know, I'm very ambitious. Mm. I'm definitely type A. He's very ambitious, definitely type A. Who on first?
You know, yeah, what I'm saying? Right. So who running the meeting?
Who running? Yeah, like, and so I think that is something that, you know, we've now, I think we're in a much better flow than we have been in the past, and kind of just finding our own flow and each of us being able to kind of step back in different places and times.
And then like personally, I think from a personality perspective, I don't mind working hard. Mm. I enjoy working hard, and I can be out of the house working hard like hours at a time. There have been times when I've, like, to protect our investment, security system maybe wasn't working, or electric went off or something. I'm asleep at the property. Ain't nobody coming into my house. You know? and that's good and dandy, right? And okay, great, he's a hard worker, whatever, but there's a personal side, mm-hmm. right? I got a marriage, I got a daughter.
Yeah, you better bring your butt to my bed.
See, exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, that's a really good point. He is definitely he can work, like, he'll work. Like, can I go to a beach somewhere? Like, is there a martini glass anywhere? What are we doing? So there is that balance of him being definitely in a season of scaling and hustling and just grinding it all out. And I'm kind of in the balance of a season of just rediscovering myself.
Mm.
And so that can be challenging in a world where things do flow to us and there's always more and we can do more. And it's just wild. And so it's hard to do that from the beach.
Right.
But I try to find the beach every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, having found a flow, you know, how do you both measure success? You know, how do you measure your own success of like, okay, I went through all the properties, I walked through it, or okay, we've helped X amount of students. So I know you both probably have like goals of the vision, but how do you go to, you know, at the end of your day, you're like, okay, I was successful today. Like I did these things for me. So that triggers, you know, this this thing where I feel satisfied of my success for the day. How do you measure your own success in this process?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was very much quantitative. How much cash do we have in a bank account? How many houses do we have? How many students do we have? Just very nuts and bolts. Then it kind of morphed into, okay, did I check off everything on my checklist that I was supposed to get done? And that's kind of that euphoric feeling where you finally, at the end of the day, 11 p.m., you tire, you put in 13, 14, 18 hours,
right,
and you look at that list and you're like, I did it. And then that moment lasts for, you know, a couple of minutes, and then you move on. And nowadays for me, a measure of success is very much like, am I balanced? Did I eat well today?
Okay.
Did I get a good workout in? Did I sleep well? Did I get my work done? Did I follow up on a task that may have been lingering, and it may not be the most important thing, but it was that frog. Did I eat that frog?
Right.
Right. So those are the measures of success for me.
So when you do that at the end of every day, you're like, okay, I did these things. Then you feel like, okay, I've sort of, you know, that's how you measure your success each day with both business and life. You're like, okay, I was able to do these things. So therefore, and if there's a day you don't do these things, you feel do you feel unbalanced?
Correct. I do. Exactly right. If there's a day that goes by and I'm like, I didn't quite get to 100 pushups, for example, I only hit 75 because that fourth set, I didn't quite get to it before midnight. Then I'm feeling like, oh man, like that's rough. That's not a good day.
What about you? How are you measuring your own success in this whole thing?
Yeah, that's actually something I'm redefining currently. What I did define as success a while ago, you know, what one thing about me, I'm really passionate and purposeful about how I'm helping other people and how I'm doing things like that. How am I setting up, you know, my students for success, or the city, and how's everybody else doing? And I think I forgot myself through there somewhere. So I'm trying to find that balance and making sure I'm checking off my own boxes.
Okay, so we took a brief little break. You know, we got some water, you know, got some water in us. And now we're back. And, you know, I was really, you know, we were just talking about some of the things, I think specifically around, what were we just talking about? I think I had just asked y'all.
We were deep in America.
Yeah, we were deep. We were deep. Listen. We had to reel it back out. We had to reel it back out. And again, I want to thank you, you know, both for being on this podcast. Make sure you go to and check out the Next Gen. And what's the website for that?
Yeah, you can check it out at Go Charm City Buyer. Well, really, if you start at charmcitybuyers.com, there's actually a free class that we have about investing in real estate. That's always a really great place to start. And then there's also more information at gocharmcitybuyers.com/nextgen.
Awesome. And it'll be linked down below in the show notes. So make sure you go there and it'll be hyperlinked. So you can just click that right away and start there and take that free class all around, you know, investing in real estate. So again, I want to thank you both for, you know, coming on the show. And, you know, some of the questions I have for you all, and I know you just did a rapid session that we'll put into another episode. So make sure you know, you look out for that power chat with Kiara that's coming soon. And so I guess my question for you both is, as you're building these companies, you know, in our community, especially in the entrepreneurship community, how are you managing your mental health? You know, how are you both managing your mental health where you are not driving yourself crazy? You are showing up for yourself in ways where you could be most productive and feel like yourself throughout this entire journey and process. Because there's this really stigma around mental health. People follow me because of ads. And I remember when I used to talk about mental health, they're like, wait, I thought you talked about ads. I'm like, no, it's not one or the other. Like it's happening simultaneously as you're building your business. So how are you managing your mental health today? And what sort of advice would you have for someone that is sort of it's struggling or think that, you know, it's taboo to manage your mental health.
That's such a deep, deep, deep question and a very real question. And the reality is your mentality, that's 80% of the journey. All this stuff, building walls and putting concrete down, that's nuts and bolts. You can do that every day of the week. But like managing your mental health and making sure that you are at a place where you are self-actualized, you're optimizing, you're maximizing is tough, man. Especially first thing in the morning, you wake up, you're tired, you're like, I got to do some things. So for me, being able to take my mental health and be very intentional about it is how I manage it. I'm very, very intentional. I listen to music and talks that help empower me and make me feel good about who I am. I'm constantly reinforcing things to myself. I am powerful. I am wise. You know, all that kind of stuff, and just manifesting as much as I possibly can, like brainwashing myself in a positive way.
Right. Mm. He's big on affirmations. Like, he'll listen. Like, you know how people will sit and listen to the affirmations, that's what he does.
Be in the shower with the affirmation playing in the background.
but that's part of your process. You know what I mean? Exactly. And I think that's important because for you, it gives you a sense of, okay, of oneself. It gives you a sense of, you know, I could do it, but it also allows you to check in with yourself to see, you know, what other resources or help do I need in order to get through the season that I'm currently going through in my life at that time.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes, exactly right.
I'm big on, I have a couple coaches and I'm big on therapy too. We got to work all this out, right? So even this today, I talked to a coach and just kind of went through all of these things and how things in business come from things that are personal and how everything kind of connects and flows through. And so I've kind of attracted a lot of those sources to be able to talk things out loud. But the other thing I do personally is I'll travel and just get around different people. Mm. And so, you know, flying to whether it's Miami or, you know, PR or wherever, like anywhere, or Texas, like wherever anybody is, and be able to connect and talk with different people about new things.
Okay.
Or just be in an environment where it's just normal to do what we do and you know, kind of normalize it and understand that we all go through things and we all, you know, have, you know, challenges that we're working through or roadblocks that we're coming towards. So I talk it out. I get around the people to talk.
And when was that moment you realized that, okay, I might need some help? Mm-hmm. Right. When was that? Was there like an instance that happened and you're like, wait, it's like something like is wrong. Like, I need some help.
Yeah. I think for me, it was when I realized personally that it wasn't fair if I only go to him for everything on the business and the personal all the time. Like I needed something else. And I think probably for him, too, like trying to, again, trying to balance all of those things out. Like I think that was big for me. And just feeling kind of stuck. Yeah. And so getting around different people, I learned that that's what helps pull me through.
It always comes from a low. And that's just how it is. You get to that low point and it's like, wait a second, something isn't right. I've got all this stuff cooking. I got all these people following.
Social media seems so great. Right. Like
everything looks so perfect on the surface. Clear.
And I try not to be like so one-sided, but it is. It's funny because when sometimes people are at their lowest when everyone thinks that they're at their highest.
Right.
And that's just the reality.
Yeah. I always tell people like the year I made my first million, I was depressed. I couldn't even enjoy it. Like I felt paralyzed and I didn't even want what was happening. Yeah. For me, and I couldn't even enjoy it, and I was like, I need help. Like I need to seek help because this is, I don't know what this beast is. You know, I don't know what I'm doing, what I enjoy, I think, and you know, and people are, you know, I'm helping people, but I always felt empty at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and so like when you're coming home, how do you see that? And be like, you know what, I need to give her space, or I need to give him space because he's kind of like, you know, going through his process.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good because I will feel guilty about not feeling good, which makes me feel more guilty, right? So he's like, no, like if you want to lay down all day and watch Netflix today, then that's what you need to do. And so he kind of taught me to be okay with that.
Yeah. Reschedule. The work is always going to be there. Meetings will always be there. There's always more opportunity. Take the day.
Yeah.
Sharpen your saw so that you can cut more efficiently tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, that's good. And I I think a lot of people need to hear that, especially some of your students. They're probably thinking that you both are superheroes, but they don't realize, no, we go through the same thing y'all go through as well.
Yes.
If there was something that, you know, as you guys have students in your program, if there was something you could tell yourself 10 years ago, right? You bumped into your younger self as you were leaving Starbucks, right? Or as you were leaving your favorite restaurant and you're looking at this person that's 10 years ago, what would you tell that? What was that person? Do you remember what they were most concerned about?
Yeah.
Like, what was going on in their mind, and what advice would you give them? Yeah. Like, what was going on in your mind 10 years ago?
That,
what did you need to hear?
Yeah, you have time. You have more time. Like, you don't gotta rush it. Like, you have time. Because my goal was like, okay, gotta work for myself full time by the time I'm 30. And we were 22, 23. And I did that at 27, which is great, but you had time. Like, you know, it would have been, you know, it would have been okay to not rush through the process.
I think I would have told myself to focus and like use that strength. It's a strength. Use it. Focus. Sit down and just like go into yourself.
Yeah.
And dive deep and get started, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot I would have told
myself.
I know.
Because we were a lot of the things we're so worried about and concerned about. We look back, we're like, you know, why was I worried about that? Why was I concerned? And even now, like, I always try to put myself in a place where I'm like, you know, what do I need in here now? Like, that someone, and I try to seek that guidance in people that may be ahead or people that, you know, what would I need to hear in order to really pull myself forward?
Yeah,
I love that exercise. And it's so true. I think I would have looked at myself and said, look, at every level, you're going to be afraid. Anytime you level up, and just lean into that as hard as you can, and make sure that, you know, you surround yourself with people who are smarter than you so that you can get through it.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we talk about, you know, this level of advice and giving advice, and we talked about building and social media. So recently I had posted something on social media, and it was really around, you know, my struggles with being visible and keeping my privacy, right? I never know what to post, and I have this challenge. So as you all are building your business, you both are very visible.
Mm-hmm.
So do you struggle with that? And how do you navigate being visible and keeping your privacy?
Yeah, I think sometimes we might not share enough sometimes. I think there's so much that we're doing that we don't share, that we keep behind closed doors. But outside of that, I think we're very intentional and thoughtful, and we'll take breaks and be okay with it and not feel like we have to live online. Like, we don't have to live online to live, right? And so we keep that in mind and focus on doing the work and know and understand that the other things will come. But yeah, it's the internet's weird, bro. Like, the internet's weird,
bro.
And there's a lot of people there's a lot of people on there, and it's just like really trying to expose what we're doing and the opportunity to people, and not want to shortchange folks, but also kind of, you know, home is for home,
right? And how do you just determine what to document and what to share in that documentation?
Yeah, that's the tricky part too. And quick public service announcement: Kiara said the internet's weird. Like, if you see in our stories, we in your like, don't pull up,
right?
don't be weird.
but some people pull up game strong.
Yeah, listen, game real strong. That happened to me before. Yeah. I'm like, nah, I ain't tagging my location, but it's hard. Because, like, when people recognize something, they're like, wait a second, they there?
Yeah.
I recognize that painting on the wall. Like, bro, come on.
That's that weird stuff.
Right.
I think, what was your question? Of
it was around, you know, when you're building these things, you're documenting it. How do you know what to share? Because you have students that are, like, looking at you, and people that are looking at you, like, how do you know what parts of it to share in the documentation of, you know, building out Baltimore, building out your companies, building out, you know, that's always been the challenge for me, and I think a lot of people.
Yeah.
We are very Because we're so passionate about what we do, it's easy for us to share that passion. Mm-hmm. But that's only 50, 60, 70% of who we are.
Right.
Right. So there are a lot of things that I don't feel comfortable sharing on our social media platforms. Mm. And personally, my private page is private. Right. People can't just look at my posts and look at my stuff. I only got a couple hundred followers. Be chilling.
Yeah. Right?
And that's intentionally so that I can have a space where I can just be myself and I can do goofy stuff or I can, you know, whatever it is that I want to do. I have that space for it. So for me, being like open, transparent, 24/7, I don't like it.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's a limitation for us because we don't share as much as some other folks like who do a lot of things online. We don't share as much because we're busy, because we're like literally working all day long. But what we do share is usually with intention to be able to spark some inspiration or, you know, motivate folks to get things done versus showing our lives and all the behind the scenes. We'll give you a sprinkle.
Yeah.
And that's always challenging, you know, because sometimes documentation helps people.
Yeah, right? It does.
But it takes so much out of you to document it. And then it's almost like you're sharing a piece of yourself every time you put something out there. It's challenging.
Yeah, we do have now what we're doing is we have a videographer that'll follow us around a couple times a week to show and, you know, just show behind the scenes of what it looks like with our day or if we're going to properties and stuff like that. So we're sharing more and more stuff on our YouTube channel to show that behind the scenes and just be intentional about it. And then you can, you know, again, kind of curate what that looks like.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up your videographer because, you know, earlier we talked about the different companies and businesses that you're running. Now, you know, people always tell me, you know, hiring is challenging. Mm. So you're building these multiple empires, multiple businesses. Is hiring the biggest challenge, or what have you learned through the process of working on the teams and then hiring people?
Every business has its own unique set of challenges on the development and on the development side. Construction prices are going crazy, right? We had supply issues and material issues with COVID. Now we've got this inflation stuff happening. So just kind of managing budgets and managing numbers, managing expectations is tough. On the construction side, managing clients, managing their expectations, managing subcontractors, making sure people show up, and then just kind of managing ourselves, right? We talked about mental health earlier and just finding those spaces where we can watch TV for an hour or put our phones down and get in a 30-minute workout, finding those spaces.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's hard with hiring for us is because we have so many businesses, like having the resources that can multitask to the level that we're multitasking and be able to follow our brain and thought process, or even just being able to pivot as we're going through our day and priorities, different priorities pop up in different businesses. And so that's hard. That's a hard skill set. And it's funny because we're in the age where everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. And I'm like, but somebody got work.
So that's
also interesting because you want to empower people to, you know, feel and be fulfilled. But you also have things that you got to get done. And I remember for me, when I was working full time, working for myself, I was putting my blood, sweat, and tears into that company because I knew that what I was doing and what I was learning was only going to equip me with more tools and resources for when I was doing things on my own. And so these days, it's like it's hard because, you know, there's literally like you put your big toe in the water. It's not like half in, half out, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So it's a new world, I think, for a lot of people that we talk to. So we have some really strong people on our team now that are just rocking with us and are super passionate about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so we're really big on pouring back into them. But hiring and managing a team and scaling and doing all those things for three different businesses at the same time is something different.
What's one tip you would give someone when it comes to hiring people, right? What's your power tip of the day?
Yeah, you hire slow and you fire fast. You got to make those transitions efficiently. And
what's that mean, like hire slow and fire fast?
That means when you're hiring, you should be really take time to be really specific about what you're looking for, why you're looking for it, what are the key skill sets, what are the responsibilities, what's the culture you're trying to build, like what does this look like, and not only putting it on paper, but fully visualizing, like how does all of this intertwine with the entire ecosystem of the company. And then fire fast is what that means. Now, if it ain't working, we got to switch this thing
up. Go.
You got to, you know, you can coach through it and try. And honestly, this is actually something I say a lot in construction and real estate. And I can do it there. I'm not as great doing it in some of the other businesses on the firing fast part. So I'll be really honest on that. But the firing fast is when you have those red flags and you're clear on things aren't working, being empowering yourself and being accountable to yourself to making a change, because you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting everybody at that point,
right,
dragging things along. So
One piece of advice that I would give, my power tip for hiring, would be taking the time to understand what those needs are and making sure you're projecting out far enough where you've got time to sit and really try to manifest that ideal candidate, that ideal person, and think about what those needs are, and not so much a job description, but like what personality traits does that person have to have? What kind of leadership style does that person need? Are they more introverted or extroverted? And really sit and really attract the person or people who you want to come into your organization. And that takes time. You got to be able to see, okay, 6 months from now, I'm going to need another admin. Let me take the first 2 months to really just kind of sit on it, think about it, and pull that together.
Yeah, you gotta hire for your future. Sometimes people try to hurry up and hire for today. Now you're not set up for what's coming. So.
And you hired somebody you really shouldn't have hired.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's good. And again, we could sit here and talk about, there's so many things.
There's so many things
to get into. And before we wrap up, I want to know, because you've both been business partners for over 10 years now.
Yeah.
What is business or life or relationship wise, what's one thing you've learned from one another? You know, and I know you've learned a lot from one another.
Yeah.
That what's like something that comes to mind where you're like, okay, this is what I learned from Khalil. This is what I learned from Kiara during these last 10 plus years being in the trenches.
Yeah, from Kiara, I learned how to delegate more effectively. That's absolutely something that I struggle with. And it's not that I don't trust other people. It's just that I feel like I'm the one who has to get it done type of thing. And it doesn't come from a overly kind of machismo place. It just comes from, I'm a little OCD. I like to work hard and I think I can get it done. But knowing that I don't have to, for example, manage my calendar, every single meeting, every single appointment, coordinate it, send out the Zoom meeting, all that kind of stuff. Kiara has kind of taught me and helped me to evolve. Kiara's helped me evolve in that space for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Khalil's definitely taught me how to prioritize myself, right? And this is something I'm still like literally is teaching me, how to prioritize myself and know that that's okay, that's cool. As someone who naturally is giving and always pouring into other people, you can't pour from an empty glass is what I, you know, he wants to say to me all the time. And so that's really, really big and important for the phase of life that I'm in right now.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. And I appreciate y'all so much for taking the time, being superheroes, to being on the podcast, to helping students, to picking up your daughters, like so many different moving pieces, but you all do it as a team. And that's what I really, really admire about the both of you. And thank you for, you know, opening up your home so we could get this podcast recorded. And, you know, I can't even describe where they live. All I can tell you is that it's a house on the water.
Yeah.
So you see a house on the water floating by, you that's us right there. And so thank you so much, and before we go, can you let everyone know where to find you and your social media as well?
Yeah, of course. So you can learn more about us at charmcitybuyers.com or at charmcitybuyers on Instagram, Twitter, charmcitybuyers on YouTube. We could keep it pretty simple, so charmcitybuyers everywhere. Definitely tap in with us and let's build wealth and build Baltimore.
And thank you so much for those of you listening in. This was really, really good. We'll have to bring them back on because there's so much that we could talk about and dive into. So we'll have to bring them back to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to leave a review. Apple Podcasts, scroll down, leave a review. Help us get over 100. And yes, until next week's episode, thank you so much for tuning in. Abu out. Obama out. All right. Thank you for joining us at the Powered AF podcast. Make sure to visit our website and make sure to follow our podcast anywhere you listen to the podcast to make sure you never miss a show. And please, 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 if you enjoyed this episode and this show, please make sure to leave us a review. It really, really does help. And last thing, if you're interested in this freebie that I just released, I want you to check this out. Recently, I put together a free online training on how to 10x your sales online. This is for business owners who are struggling with making consistent sales online. Whether you run a product or service-based business, this is the perfect training for you. The free training is still up and you can access it by going to poweryourlaunch.com/pod. Again, poweryourlaunch.com/pod. That's P-O-D. All right. Thanks again for listening in. I'll see you during our next show.